You know, it is hard to be up here and not say good morning. I mean, it just is. So I'm going to say good morning, because it's morning somewhere. I'm sure of that. And it really, this is one of my favorite services of the year. I mean, there's just something delightful about coming on Christmas Eve, because we have a reason to worship and to praise and to be thankful. One of the things, and it's also cool to see people that I don't know. So all of you that I don't know, hi, glad you're here. I assume you know somebody. You're maybe a relative. We're going to have next service. I've got three grandkids. They're going to be sitting, I don't know where, at least two of the three. One might not be. I'm not sure. It might be back in the back. So it's just a great time of the year, isn't it? I mean, for a lot of different reasons. And one of which, if you're a member or a tender at Cross Point, we were taking an offering to buy a van that would go to South India, or the southern part of India, and help rescue some little girls from family trafficking. And the numbers, I mean, it's just like, God is so good. I mean, we were wanting to raise $37,000, which for us sounds, that sounds to me like a pretty decent, last time I saw it was over 40, and I wanted to say, thank you, Lord, to have a church that wants to give, and that's a part of this whole Christmas thing. So here we go. Tonight I get to give a little sermonette. I like to give longer sermons, but because it's Christmas Eve. And I want to begin with a little poem. It's a Christmas poem. So kind of sit back, relax, and just think, you know, like chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And I don't even know what that means, because I don't have an open fire, and I'm not sure what chestnuts are. But it just sounds relaxing. And you can laugh if you want. That's okay. I'm good with that. So are you ready for this poem? You guys ready? You ready? Thank you for that feedback. Here it is. The Grinch hated the Who down in Whoville, they say. So he snuck down in secret early Christmas Day. He stole all their presents. He stole all their wrappings. He stole all their food, all their tinsels and trappings. Then he took it up to the top of Mount Crumpet, packed high on his sled. He was ready to dump it. You guys wonder what church he came to, didn't you? He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came somehow or other. It came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little more. Aren't you warmed? You know, I don't know much about the Grinch, and the guy that wrote it, I know there's some controversy about him. But you know what? That did end in the right way. There is something more, not only more, but infinitely more than tinsel and trappings and whatever else. The kind of the travesty, and I haven't even read the whole Grinch book. I don't think I even watched the whole movie. They don't tell you what it is. It's sort of like you got to have this spirit. You got to just feel good. That's what Christmas is about, is feeling good. We're here tonight on Christmas Eve with the people of God to say Christmas is more than just I feel good inside. Christmas is Jesus, the God of very God, who took on flesh, and he came to dwell among us. And so that's what we want to talk about this evening. And you did pick up one key word, I hope, in that poem, right? Do you know what the key word of that poem was? How about who? Go with me, who, you know? The Who of Whoville. I mean, even that, it's almost like they're unnamed. They're impersonal. The Who of Whoville. We're going to talk about the Who tonight. Are you guys ready for the Who? This is afternoon, whatever it is. And there's we're going to talk about two Who's, a Who and a Who. And then we're going to talk about a gift, a who, and a gift. And it's going to come from one verse, and it's a pretty simple verse, and it's in Acts 2 of all places. But if you've been with us, we've been doing an Advent series. We've been going through Acts, and it's sort of like 30 years or 33 years after what we're celebrating tonight when Jesus was born. He had was born. He lived the life we should have lived. He lived the perfect life. Then he died. Then he rose again. Then he ascended to heaven. And then you remember there were 50 days after that, there was this thing called Pentecost, which actually had a history in Jewish a tradition of a feast that they celebrated for years and years and years. But on that day, Jesus said there's going to be another Advent. It's going to be the Holy Spirit is going to come. And we've been talking about that. And when Peter gave his sermon on that, I don't know if it was an evening or a morning. He probably said good morning. It might have been in the evening. He gave a sermon on Pentecost. And in his sermon, he quoted an Old Testament prophet whose name was Joel. And he gave a pretty lengthy statement or a pretty lengthy quote from him. And he ends it with verse 21. And it's Acts 2:21. And this is a really cool verse. It says this, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who," so the word "who" is in here, "who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The message on Christmas Eve is that simple. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the first "who" is this. The first "who" is, who is it that the everyone is? It's the everyone who. It's the you who. Right? I mean, it's us. It's, or it could be the us who, but us. It's humanity, and the term that's used is everyone. And that really is the term that's used. And when you think of everyone, everyone is this. It's not just someone, it's everyone. It's not just the rich, it's the rich and the poor. It's not just the Jews, even in this context, because if you read previously, there were Jews that were scattered around, and some of them were proselytes, probably Gentiles, had taken on Judaism. They had come, they had been confronted with this Holy Spirit, who was the one sent from Jesus, and they had, or at least they were looking for, what are we supposed to do? Here's what you're supposed to do, everyone, all of you, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, man, woman, old, young, famous, not famous. And you fill in the blank. So you could put whatever your name is here, and you could say, I am the who. I'm the everyone who. But it's not just that. It's everyone who calls. And that word, just before the word "calls," if you were to look at it, like I'm sure all of you want to look at it in the original text, but there's everyone who, and there's the word "if" could be put in there. If everyone, or everyone, namely the ones who call. So it's everyone is invited, but only those that call are going to receive the blessing and the benefit. And it's the word "call," everyone who calls. And I think the word "call" in that context means you've got a problem, and so you're calling for some help. Like, let me give you a couple of examples. These are kind of Christmassy examples, or maybe not, but this guy up here just had a baby, and most of you know that, but if you're a visitor, you might not. Actually, his wife did, but they did it together. Well done. We've been praying for them, and Stephen is his name, and I went and saw them in the hospital last week or the week before, however you look at weeks, and little Stephen started kind of, you know, what little Stephens do. Just like, and he started crying, and Big Mitchell, you know, he comes up, and I mean, I just never saw such a gentle dad take his kid, and he stopped crying. And I don't know what he was crying for, but I'm guessing this. He was crying saying, I'm hungry, or I want you to know I'm here. I'm crying because I've got a need. You know, you've sung the song before, right? Jesus, little baby, no crying he made. I like Christian songs. I like that song. I don't even know which song it is, but it's one of those Christmas songs. Jesus cried. Jesus, when Jesus was a baby, he was laying there, and if he got hungry, he didn't suddenly say, I'm putting on my God hat. I'm going to say, Mary, I know I look like a baby, but I'm talking because I'm God. I can talk, even if I'm a baby, and I'm hungry. How about a snack, a little food? You know what he did? He cried. He cried, and it's a good thing. If you got a baby that doesn't cry, that's not a good thing. There's a need that and we just prayed this morning or this afternoon for some people within our church, and one had a knee problem, and they called a doctor. You got a knee problem, you ought to call a doctor. If you got a gallbladder problem, like Bob did, you ought to call a doctor and say, doctor, I've got a gallbladder problem. And the doctor might say, it's not a gallbladder problem, whatever. But you're going to call somebody that knows what to do. The call means I've got a need. The Parker family, man, we've been praying for Ben and his family. It just seems like the Lord has been giving them a lot of opportunities to call on him and say, man. And I know they've called doctors too. I mean, call the doctor. A good friend of mine last week, Tim Doyle, I've mentioned him in sermons before, is in the hospital on the north side right as we speak, literally fighting for his life. He has about 30% lung capacity. He got pneumonia. Merry Christmas. I mean, all this was a week before Christmas, all these things. And he's got this faith that he trusts the Lord without any doubt. And we were crying out to the Lord, and they were crying to the doctor, help us. And they got some really, really good doctors. And Leah had shoulder surgery. I mean, if you're sick, you call the doctor. If you need cash, I remember when I was younger and I needed cash. Not that I don't need cash now, so if you guys have cash and you don't know what to do with it, I mean, it's Christmas Eve, right? But back then, I really did. So I asked the bank, hey, bank, would you give me some cash? And the bank looked at me like, are you crazy? You got absolutely no reason to ask us for it. And they just basically, you know, like, no. So then, you know what you do? I asked my mom, mom, a little cash. Because I knew if I asked my dad, that might not be the most profitable way to get. And she made sure, whatever, you know how that. If you're lonely, you call a friend. That idea of calling somebody that can come to you. If you've broken the law, call a lawyer. Calling everyone who calls. And on Christmas Eve, we come together, and I hope you had a phenomenal day. I mean, the weather is beautiful today, wasn't it? Unless you like snow. And even if you do like snow, it still was a beautiful day today. And I hope you have a fantastic day tomorrow. But the fact is, we all come into this service, and we are people with a need. And everyone who calls, that's the first who. The second who in the text says, calls upon the name of the Lord. So who are you going to call? Well, there's a lot of options. You can call doctors. You can call whoever. You can call your pastor if you want. But you ought to call the Lord. Call in the name of the Lord. Call in the name of the Lord. And you know, as I was thinking about that classic poem that really isn't the Grinch poem, one of the things that grieves me when I see those kind of things, and I like to feel good. I like to feel good. I like Christmas. I like to have that, you know, singing those carols just makes me remember when I was a kid. It makes me feel like I want to drink hot chocolate. I want to, you know, whatever. I just want to feel good. And feeling good is okay, but the spirit of Christmas, you know, let's go for the spirit of Christmas. We want to go for the who of Christmas, not the spirit of Christmas. And the who of Christmas, let me tell you what his name is. He's got a name. His name is Jesus. And even, you know, that Christmas carol, that's Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. I mean, now his name means you're Scroogey. You're just, you don't know how to handle, you don't have that feeling. And again, I like the feeling. But in the end, it's the feeling conjured up by what? The feeling needs to be conjured up by the who. The who calls on the who can do something about what our problem is. And here's one of the things that's so beautiful about Jesus, is that he's not a force, he's not a feeling, he's a person. And when Jesus, the thing you celebrate in the incarnation is the God of the universe took on flesh and became one of us. I mean, that's so beautiful. It's mind-boggling. It ought to just kind of snap your mind and say, and frankly, I think that is probably the most mind-snapping reality, is how an infinite God could take on flesh. How? And then I say, I could either ask how, or I could say, thank you, Lord. You're the who that my life needs to revolve around. That's who you are. And then some of the names, you know, the Bible's full of names for the Lord, isn't it? I mean, it's loaded with it. Like, for example, if you're hungry, Jesus said, hey, I'm the bread of life. There you go. If you're sick, Jesus said, you know, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for those who needed a physician. That's who I am. On Christmas Day, I'm glad when Jesus came, he wasn't saying, I'm coming for the people that can give me a bunch of stuff. He said, I'm going to come for the people who need me to give them a bunch of stuff, like salvation. So if you're tired, I don't know how many of you are tired. I would say, how many tired people do we have here? I mean, there you go. I see a couple of hands. A couple of people honest enough to admit on Christmas Eve, we're tired. We're tired. Here's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will, and the text actually says, I will rest you. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm gentle and lowly, and you'll find rest. for your soul. And on Christmas Eve, I want the one who is the gentle and lowly one that will give rest to my soul. If you're poor, maybe your credit card got a little racked up maybe in the last week or so, then you might have to repent about that. But then you can also say, the Lord is going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you know, if you're lonely, one of the great names for God is Emmanuel, which is Hebrew. Em is with, El is God, God with us, Emmanuel. So here's what the text says. The text says this: if you or whoever or everyone who calls, who calls, and if you call on the right person, and the right person, his name is Jesus, and a whole bunch of other names as well. If you call on him, then here's the third point of the text. Then here's the gift. The who calls is you or me, and the who you call is Jesus, all his other names. And then it says, shall be saved. I mean, isn't that the good news of Christmas? I mean, the good news of Christmas certainly is, I mean, it's the incarnation of God. I've already taught, I mean, that ought to cause you to shudder a little bit, that God would take on flesh and become the God-man. What makes me shudder even more is he did that for his people, to give us the opportunity to be saved. And what an interesting word, saved. Saved from what? If you don't think you need to be saved, then I guess there's no sense celebrating Christmas unless you just want to feel good. And if you just want to feel good, maybe Christmas will help you do that. But if you realize this saved thing means I've got a real problem. And my problem is in my heart. My problem is that I'm a sinner. And that, I don't know, is that a good word to use at Christmas? It's a really good word if there's a really good solution to that word, that I'm a sinner, that I've rebelled against God, and that Jesus came to provide a way that I could come to the Father. And I think, man, what manner of love that would be. How incredible is that? You don't have to be good enough. As a matter of fact, there's a song that I like. It's not a Christmas song, but it's Come Ye Sinners Poor and Needy. Weak and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you're never going to come at all. You're never going to say, I have a need. And then ask. Whoever will ask, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And again, I don't know all of you here tonight, but man, I tell you what, the best gift you could get on Christmas Eve or any other Eve is to come to faith in Christ. It's to receive that gift. That's the gift of Jesus says, I want to be your Savior. So if you repent of your sin and you trust in me, I will save you from your sin. And I think, there you go. Put that gift under any tree, and it'll blow that tree apart. And then for those of us, which is probably most of us, we would say, yeah, that's where I am. You know what? Jesus not only saves you from your sin, but he saves us to an eternal life with him. I mean, the gift of Christ is just absolutely amazing because he says to us, you know what? On your worst day, I'm your Savior. On your hardest day, I got you. When things seem to not be going the way you wish they would, or on the best day of your life, on the best Christmas you've ever had, the best Christmas is a Christmas when you realize that I have eternal life because that's what you have in Christ. And I thought, just to close my little time, I listened to a video clip this morning from my favorite theologian. So there you go. Christmas Eve, it doesn't get any better than your favorite theologian. Do I have an amen for that? Like, probably not, but I think that's really true. His name is Don Carson, and Don Carson, I've had him speak a couple times at a church that I was pastor of before. Anyway, and I heard this, and it's just a three-minute clip, and it just, I got so excited about it that I shared it with my kids and my wife, and they both said, that's really good, and said, show it on, they didn't say show it on Christmas Eve, but I decided we're going to do it. So hang on and listen to this, and I think you'll be blessed by it.
Picture two Jews by the name of Smith and Brown, remarkably Jewish names. The day before the first Passover, having a little discussion in the land of Goshen. And Smith says to Brown, boy, are you a little nervous about what's going to happen tonight? Brown says, well, God told us what to do through his servant Moses. You don't have to be nervous. Haven't you slaughtered the lamb and daubed the two doorposts with blood, put blood on the lintel? Haven't you done that? You're all ready and packed to go? You're going to eat the whole Passover meal with your family? Well, of course I've done that. I'm not stupid. But it's still pretty scary when you think of all the things that have happened around here recently, you know, flies and river turning to blood, and it's pretty awful. And now there's a threat of the firstborn being killed, you know? It's all right for you. You got three sons. I've only got one. And I love my Charlie, and the angel of death is passing through tonight. You know? I know what God says, and I put the blood there, but it's pretty scary. I'll be glad when this night is over. And the other one responds, "Bring it on. I trust the promises of God." That night, the angel of death swept through the land. Which one lost his son? And the answer, of course, is neither. Because death doesn't pass over them on the ground of the intensity or the clarity of the faith exercised. But on the ground of the blood of the Lamb. That's what silences the accuser. The blood silences the accuser of the brothers as he accuses us before God. He silences our consciences when he accuses us directly. How many times do we writhe in agony asking if God can ever love us enough, if God can ever care for us enough after we've done such stupid, sinful, rebellious things, after being Christians for 40 years? What are you going to say? Well, you know, God, I tried hard, you know? I did my best. It was a bad moment. No. I have no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. There is the ground of all human assurance before God. There is the ground of our faith, not guaranteeing intensity of faith, so fickle are we. It's not the intensity of our faith, but the object of our faith that saves. They overcome him on the ground of the blood of the Lamb.
To which I say, amen. You know, it sounded a little Easter, didn't it? I mean, kind of had a little bit of that feel. But I'm here to tell you, Christmas and Easter are tied together inextricably. Isn't that a word? It's kind of like Jesus came. And at times I thought, you know what? We probably spend too much time thinking about Jesus coming and taking on flesh. We ought to spend more time thinking about the death and resurrection. And I've changed my thought. They ought to both equally be just this huge monument of Christian faith. So on Christmas Eve, we come together and say, the God of God came and took on flesh so that in 33 years, he would die so that he could have a relationship with us sinners. And so we say, praise be to God. And happy and merry Christmas. Let me pray.